So let's pray over this. Father God, we thank you and praise you that you are good. You want to feed us today. I want to hear from you, and we will. We're going to listen to you. We're going to hear from you. We're going to act on the word today in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you know, you prepare, and then you come here, and you're among friends, and you think, man, what if I don't get it out the way I want to? But I got it out yesterday the way I wanted to, so I'm blessed already, and I wanted to I want to get it out for you guys. But I'll tell you one thing, and I don't want the reaction that Jesus got right away, but listen to this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Amen. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and you. And he's baptized us with the Holy Ghost and power. We go about doing good, healing all that are oppressed of the devil, for God is with us. Now today, my speech and my preaching is not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of power that you're facing us in, the wisdom and the power of God. So that's not bragging on me. Sometimes I think, where does it come out of me? But that's the red notebook. That's the years of this. And I know people don't always take the time and can't take the time, but it's a matter of what you treasure. And I just love the word. And so I got to rely on the anointing. So here we go. You know, it doesn't matter what I feel like today. But we're talking about reward and our future. So Jesus had a lot to say about this. Let's turn to Revelation 11, first of all. And we'll get started with this. I need a bigger podium here. I thought about Gloria Copeland. She'd be teaching in the afternoons in Fort Worth at the Southwest Believers Convention. And sometimes it's after lunch and you're trying to focus and think, oh, it's glory again. And she's kind of, but I'll tell you what, I'd give anything to hear that woman now again, and we'll hear her again. But at healing school, she would she'd have this big podium, and she'd have all kind of notes and everything, which I really like. And she'd really minister on healing. But we're going to talk here about reward. And in Revelation 11, I'm just breaking at verse 16. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God. I'm checking the time here, make sure I go long enough here. Okay. They're worshiping God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come, because you have taken to thee thy great power, and you have reigned. And so what happened? The nations were angry. This is down the road, and this is our future. This is really, we're going to experience this. We're going to see this. And this is not just writing in a book here. This is happening for us coming up. Whether we go by the rapture, whether we go by the grave, this is coming in our future. And the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should give reward. We're talking about reward unto your servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear your name, small and great, and you should destroy them that which destroy the earth. So we're looking here in the life in the world to come. And, you know, I just turned 73 and I'm thinking, oh my gosh. And I'm thinking, God's telling me all this, all of us to do things. And it's all right. You're 73. You got a long time to go. So, I think we have more energy, some of us, than some of the 20, 30 year olds. No offense. Okay. But, so this, you know, 100, 120 years is a blink of an eye, you know. Well, if you said that to me when I was 30, you'd think, yeah, okay. But, you know, and you realize it just goes so fast. You know what I'm talking about. But that doesn't mean life here is insignificant on this side. You know, it is significant. What we do here affects our future. And, excuse me, we're going to look at that in some detail. But it said that nations were angry. So God, the righteous judge of all the earth, is going to judge the nations, judge things. And those that defiled and denied him are going to face that judgment. Those of us who walked in faith and obedience to what he said are going to receive reward. We'll get into that in a little more detail. So who going to receive the reward? It says, you give reward unto your servants, the prophets. Oh, yeah, see, it's just the prophets. No, it goes on to say, and to the saints. And somebody said, if you're not a saint, you're an ain't. But, you know, we're not talking about religious things that would say you have to do all these miracles to become a sainthood. You know, we know this. We are saints. So it's given to the prophets, to the saints, to them that fear thy name. The more I go on here, And you know, I told you I have a passion against saying anything about fear, but I talk about fear of the Lord. The more I go on with the reverence of God, Job 28:28 says, "The fear of the Lord is wisdom; departing from evil is understanding and knowledge." So you walk in this fear of the Lord, and people that walk in the fear of the Lord are going to have reward. It says, "Small and great." So this is for everyone that'll be obedient. And we realize we're not just holy by our deeds. We've been made holy by the Lord Jesus Christ. He, Jesus, who knew no sin, was made to be sin on our behalf, and we've been made the righteousness of God in Him. You know what I'm talking about there. So there is coming a time when these rewards will be given. Try and imagine that. A reward ceremony. Maybe they say the marriage supper of the Lamb. I don't know where it'll be, but you know, there will be a time. Rewards will be given. And so what I'm learning about this is the more I study this, and there's so much of this, but this makes you want to pursue God more, which is a good thing. I'm not trying to be goody-two-shoes, but it makes you want to pursue God because this is real. There are rewards. It's a rewards-based system. So anybody who's doing anything in connection with Him in obedience, in faith, is going to have some part in the reward. Now, let's go over to Revelation 22. This is right near the back of the book. I'm already on Scripture 3, Alan. We're moving there. I gave Darlene the list so she can give me the cue and everything. And behold, this is Jesus speaking, right near the end of the book here. "And behold, I come quickly." I'll get it in a minute. "And my reward is with me." Okay, He's coming quickly. His reward is with Him. "To every man according as his work shall be." So now we're figuring out, how do you get into this system? It's according to your works. It's according to what your work is. According to being obedience. Now, I could be doing all kind of work. I could be supposed to be a equipment salesman, but no, I'm up here boring you. No, I'm not, but because I'm called to do this. But you got to be in your place in your grace. But as He's bringing rewards to give to every man according to his work shall be. He's coming quickly. And did you ever talk to anybody that says, "Oh yeah, yeah, quickly"? They've been saying that. I literally have. I'm talking to this guy. He's dual Purple Heart Vietnam. He's a professional. He's very respected. He's a big talker. I try and talk to him. I can relate to him and talk openly. I don't know where he's at spiritually, but he's come close to death so many times. I'm thinking he ought to know. But I said to him some time ago, I said, about the Lord coming back. He said, "They've been saying that for hundreds of years." And I said, "Well, you're accurate. The Bible says there'd be scoffers." And I want to get into that just a moment here in 2 Peter 3. And I'm going to use the Amplified. "Behold, I'm now writing." This is 2 Peter 3, starting in the first verse. I'm going to be going a lot of different things, but I've found with this message, all messages, you got to have the foundation of the Word. Yeah, I believe that, but why do you believe that? Well, they say about scoffers, where's that? Well, I'm going to show you here. Maybe you already know, but beloved, I am now writing to you this second letter. "In both of them I have stirred you, your unsullied, sincere mind by way of remembrance, that you should recall the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior given through your apostles, your special messengers. To begin with, you must know and understand this, that scoffers, mockers, will come in the last days with scoffing, people who walk after their own fleshly desires, and saying, 'Where is the promise of His coming?'" Oh yeah, they've been saying that. "Where is the promise of His coming? For since the forefathers fell asleep, all things have continued exactly as they did from the beginning of creation. For they have willfully overlooked and forget this fact, the heavens came into existence long ago by the word of God, and the earth also, which was formed out of the water by means of water, through which the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. By that same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up, reserved for fire." There's your answer to climate control and global warming. I'm all for environmentalism and being conservative and all that, but I don't have to try and save the planet. It's not going to be global warming. It's going to be fire. So, it's funny, you guys, "Well, we're going to save this planet." No, you're not. So being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly people, nevertheless, this is a key here, do not let this one fact escape you. This is the Apostle Peter who handled Jesus, who knew Jesus. He said, don't let this one fact escape you, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years and a thousand years is a day. So when Jesus says, I'm coming quickly, you know, we got to look at God's definition of timing. And that's not to put a trip on you like, oh man, we're going to be here forever. I don't know, you know, but I was going to open up today and say, I'm going to tell you exactly when we're in Revelation. I'm going to tell you exactly when we're leaving. But no, I didn't do that. That's going to joke around, but no, but he said, I'm coming quickly. So if I said to you, I'm going to see you in 2 days, you know, you'd say, that's pretty quick. Well, if it's 2,000 years, that's quick and gone. It's been what? So, you know, you can see the signs of the times. But we got to live like this is reality, and it is. So these scoffers, I don't let them bother me because I'm amazed. I'm thinking of another supposed Christian. I'm amazed at the people that have no revelation of this as far as the timing we're living in. No revelation of the hour we're living in and the preciousness of time, that they have this time that they can do something for God and just, you know, party it off. So, and I'm talking about Christians. I don't mean that they're out boozing and drugging, but just foolishness. So, you know, he's coming and he said his reward is with him. Well, you know, a lot of the current generation is socialist minded. So I don't want that to creep in. Some of these things are obvious, but it's like the Lord dealt with me to deal with these things. I'm going to set this here for a minute. And, you know, this is not socialism or communism. It doesn't say my reward is with me and to give to every man equally. We're just going to, you know, you've got a lot. You don't have much. We're going to even this out here. What did Obama say that time on a hot mic, you know, share the wealth? He tried to back it up then because he knew people wouldn't like that. But it's not just him. It's a lot of politicians. So, you know, it's not a socialistic thing with God. I'm going to emphasize that a lot here. You know, this reward is based on you and what you do. I always talk about fourth grade math. In fourth grade, I was so kind of bored, I guess. And then in math, they said, you can go at your own pace. Man, I love that. It's just go and go and go. I wasn't treated like everybody else. Hey, if they want to just la-di-da, fine with them. That's fine, but not for me. I didn't want to do that. You know, give us Christians in this church an opportunity. We want to excel. So this is not to divide up equally. You know, socialism and communism has never really worked. But and you listen to the liberals in our government and other governments in Europe, well, they didn't do it right. We're going to do it right. Well, it's never worked and it never will work. It's not God's system. And, you know, we have the greatest country in the world, but, you know, it's not going to be always voting and stuff when Jesus comes back. You know, it's going to be his rule and his reign, his kingdom. I like what Jesse Duplantis said one time. He said, the kingdom of God is a theocracy and my minister is a theocracy and my name's Theo. You know, he runs that ministry. He's boss, and they know it. And that's the way, you know, he's a leader. So we need to think seriously about this, that we're not, we live in a culture where the government tries to, you know, thank God there's a safety net, but the government almost makes you think, what's the use? And we can't think that way. Because God doesn't like that. In Malachi, it says, well, you know, you call call the wicked, but he says, you're saying, what's the point of serving you? These people are prospering, they're wicked. He doesn't like that, it says, and he doesn't like your words have been stout against me. So we don't want to be doing that, because in God, we can excel no matter what the natural system. We know that. So now, I want to make a distinction here. We're talking about works. The reward is based on works. But I want to make an important distinction. Here's where a bunch of scriptures come in. In Romans chapter 4, just so we have, don't slip into performance-based thinking concerning our salvation. In Romans 4, it says, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. I think the Amplified says, if it's by works, then it's owed him. For what says the Scripture? Abraham believed God, it was counted unto him for righteousness. So we're making this distinction here. And I got this from Keith Moore, but this is not Keith's message. This is my message. It's revelation to me. But I like this statement. God said to him, our righteousness is not based on what we do. Our reward is. So that's why I'm making this distinction. Our righteousness is not based on what we do. It's not performance based. In fact, he goes on saying, now unto him that works is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as God also described the blessedness of man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works. Saying our righteousness is not based on what we do. It's easy to slip into this performance-based mentality. And especially, when you're growing up as a Christian, I knew I was thinking that way because you hear a lot of preaching in that way. And I think a lot of it stems from Deuteronomy. I remember when we go to convention, they sing that Deuteronomy song and the blessings of Abraham. But, your spirit knows a lot more than you think. Because your spirit somehow, if a minister or a pastor or any kind of minister says something that's over here and then 2 months later they're over here, my spirit picks up on that. It doesn't jive. It doesn't mix. And so, even though you think, your spirit's picking up if you're active. And then I just want to touch on this. In Deuteronomy, I think a lot of this comes from Deuteronomy 28. First of all, let me say, do you ever hear that somebody say that to their kids, oh, don't do that, baby. God, Jesus won't love you if you do that. I don't hear that much anymore, but that was when I was a kid, some of that went on. And the idea that, you've got to perform, you've got to walk, go through the hoops to have Jesus love you, or to get him to answer that prayer. You really want that. Man, I got to do so. I got to do performance here. But Romans 5 says, while we were still sinners, God gave his love to us. So we were still sinners. He loved us then. He loves everybody in hell. We don't have to perform for him to love us. Last August 24, I did a message on love. And, he loves us, period. We don't have to be circus animals jumping through a fiery hoop to get, oh, man, now I love you. Or, oh, now I'll answer that prayer. No, it's faith in Jesus Christ, faith, knowing what the Word says, putting your faith on it and getting the result. But some of this comes, I think, this performance-based thinking. And I love the Old Testament. There's nothing wrong with the Old Testament. You just have to know which side you're on. So this says, under the law, it shall come to pass if. There's always that if. Well, then people think, I that leaves me out. 28, I'm sorry, verse 1 and following, right? Are you there? Okay. This reminds me of another thing. I'm in Chicago. I'm getting my first designation, MAI designation, which is a big deal in my realm. And there's this guy that I started out with in training near Philly, classes many years before that, Joe Simboski. And the poor guy just never got there. He's an appraiser. He's got these jobs, but he drives to Chicago to this class. I got to fly out. He drives to Chicago, and he comes in, and he said, man, I'm going to, oh, this was a review designation. He says, I'm going to get this. I said, well, you have to have this before you can do that. He says, oh, another thing I can't get. I don't want us as Christians to look at this like, well, another thing I can't attain. Because it says, it should come to pass if you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God to observe and do how many? All his commandments, which he commands this day, that the Lord thy God will set you on top of all nations, and these blessings shall come on you. See, now, I got to perform. I got to keep these commandments so these blessings can come on me. No, we don't want to be doing that. We should be looking at this as, led by the Spirit. Hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord our God. But we should be saying, looking at this like, because Jesus kept all the commandments, he did it all. These blessings are mine. This sounds like we know this, it's simple, but I just want to remind us of this because we're talking about performance and rewards. I don't want it slipping over into thinking it's for our righteousness. So we need to stop approaching God on what we've done, and we know this, approaching what Jesus has done. But it, I'm telling you, haven't you? It's easy to slip into that. Man, I gotta get, and you want to do what's right. You want to operate right. And the other thing is, I want to operate right because I don't want to give the devil an inroad into my life. I think it's Proverbs 26:2, I believe it is. I'll find it here coming up. But give an inroad into my life, the curse causeless shall not come. You know, you start operating like a knucklehead, and you know you're going to open up the door for the devil. Somebody, no matter how much they didn't do, no matter what they've done, if they've generally been born again, maybe they're happy living that kind of Christian life, getting banged back and forth, every turmoil, every trial, you've seen them. You know, maybe they're happy that way. They're going to get to heaven, they're in. But if they're generally born again, they don't have to live so-called a good life like we talk about it. But, I try and keep the devil off me. And, you know, we have 1 John 1:9, and, you know, a lot of times I'll say, man, I messed up, Father, I repent, I confess that sin. And devil, you're not putting any penalty on me. Jesus already paid that penalty. So be quick to repent. And also, you want to live right as a testimony to other people. I want to be able to talk to people in my realm, sphere of influence, like this guy I talked to at the market, this professional I said about, he's a scoffer. I want to be able to, I can tell he looks at, he can relate to me what I'm saying. Maybe someday he'll ask me the right question. So, you know, our identity has to be in Christ, you know, realizing he did the work. We got to realize who we are. I remember Jake talked about this. He's not here this morning, but back in the testimonies, back in early 24, he said something like, you know, I just had to rely on my identity in Christ. That blessed me. And we need to know who we are and react accordingly. So that, yeah, I'm talking about living right, reacting accordingly. I hate it when I miss it. We don't like missing it. But we can't let that think, oh, well, now I got to do penance for 14 weeks, and then God will hear me, and then maybe I'll get that answer. No, you can't do that. That was a young Christian. One of the biggest things in a relief or a revelation, I did something really stupid. And then I just repented, and then it dawned on me. I put my faith in 1 John 1. I put faith in this. He said, and man, what a relief. What a result then. You know, that's the word of God. God loves that. So we want to have this true identity of who we are in Christ. But so our righteousness is not based on what we do, our works, our performance, but based on the word of God in Revelation 22, we just read it, our rewards are based on our works, our performance. So we're going to talk about this. It's not just the wrong motive. The biggest thing is motive. He said, I'm coming quickly, my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. So, but again, we don't want to let the, socialism of the age creep in, you know. How is it if somebody's taken from me to give to somebody that, a good example of how Jesus will look at this about works. How would it be right for Jesus to have this reward, this package of rewards, but You've been living this way, doing everything I said by faith. So, but I'm going to take a lot of yours and go over here to Joe Idiot, because he got born again. He did nothing. Didn't even go to church. Didn't do a thing that I asked him. So, but it's all right. You don't mind, do you, Mike? Yeah, I do. He's gonna divide it up. No, that's not Jesus. I just can't even imagine that. So that's not it. So he says, we will rule and reign with him. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Who's the kings he's king over? That's us. Or the Lords he's Lord over? That's us. You know, these people with the idea about the pearly gate, man, you talk about reward, and some of them think, well, if I can just get there. Well, you'll think differently when you get there and see certain rewards of people have been obedient versus, man, I could have done this. I didn't do it. And about almost a year ago, yesterday exactly, 2 years ago, your sister's funeral. The family did it, but I did the message right upstairs here. we rented this and then had a thing down here. And you had all kind of people there. Some I didn't know, but you could tell some of them hadn't been in a church since who knows when. Some had. And I said about this, you know, Peter's not there at the pearly gate. First of all, there's one pearl there, and he's not there. Okay, we got this scale. Let's see what you did, you know. Well, you're in. You should have seen some of the eyes. You know, you look out there, it's like, and now this is elementary to us, but, you know, for people out there, a lot of people think that way. In fact, I talked to another guy at the business, the coffee business, you know, John. I was talking about John. I said about this, oh, I'm going to heaven. Well, why, John? I'm happy. Well, I did a lot of good works. I said, it doesn't work that way. You think, how can people think this? But they don't know. They haven't been around any of this. And that's why we have to get off our high horse sometime and realize we're dealing with people that are just the way they are. Somebody told me, a man I respect, he said, you know, and see, my work is, I'm reviewing people's other work that are supposed to know better some of these things, and I got to tell them to correct it. Sometimes I get this attitude, and he says to me, he says, you got to just respect people for who they are. And I'm doing that now. I'm trying to do that. You know, they may be no good at what they do, and I got to fix it, but I got to respect them because they're people. But part of this reward has to do is our place and our responsibility in the ages to come, the kingdom to come. So, you know, it reminds me also of my message of December 22nd last year. Part of it was to try and get us ready for 2025. And here we are, almost up to the last quarter. So a part of it was to spend time with the Lord, to hear His voice, to pray in the Holy Ghost, separate yourself. And I'm not going to ask by show of hands who did it. I'm sure you all did it. But, you know, to take the time, because we don't want to let the year slip by and think, oh, another year. What did I get done? What's going on? But I acted on that thing the next day. I think it was Monday the 23rd. It was Christmas. Yeah. So I got up, and I do this. I spend time with the Lord. There's times, not every time, but I got a lot of deadlines, but I'll take time with the Lord and hear His voice. So that I started doubling down on that, and man, what a result this year. Things that we testified about, sale of a property, we have, a lot of things happened for us. Again, not bragging, but things that we have to know step by step. I'd like to know out there, but right now I know here. And sometimes I know out there, but how do I get there? And that's what you'd like to know, because I'm a detailed person. But in our case, this is an example. He's been training us in stressful situations that you just hear the voice of the Holy Ghost. You know the next step. You think, I can't take one more thing. Get me through one more day. But then there's a step. And, I mean, I don't mean literally, but I mean when you got so much going on, and everybody thinks they do, but those of us who really do, no. No, everybody thinks that. So this will help anybody no matter what. She had a call from a taxpayer that, Charlene's a tax collector for another few months. Praise the Lord. That this is such a, I'm listening to this on the speakerphone. This is such a big problem for him. She solves it. She deals with it. But I mean, he's calling back. And this, to him, this is all he can handle. And I understand that. I really understand that's where he's at. But he's dealing with us about operating under these extreme conditions, training us to listen and go step by step in these uncomfortable situations. You know, and you think about worldwide what's going on. You hear about the revival. You hear about that's going on. And it's only going to intensify, I believe. We want it intensifying here. And, you know, it has to be something that, I mean, I think pastors talked about this. I've seen this too. And you have these revivals hit, and then people start organizing them, and then they kind of wane. So, I mean, we don't want that. We have to be trained as a church. This has to do with rewards somehow. But we have to be trained as a church, as the church, to follow the Spirit of God and have the confidence that He is for us. He is on our side. He takes our part with those who help us. He'll just do you step by step, and you have to realize that it's just you got to follow the Holy Ghost. So we don't want to organize this massive outpouring. New believers have to be taught. You know, I think about what I didn't know when I came in. I think about the hippie movement, the Jesus Revolution, those things. You know, people need to be taught, but we as a church can't react like, oh my God, here comes brother so-and-so, and he's got 10 kids, and there's sister so, she's got 5, there's 10 more. If we try and micromanage this, it's not happening here.
That's right.
It won't happen here. It'll go somewhere else. We can't micromanage. We got to have enough confidence that we can, that's got to be decent in order, but, you know, let the Holy Ghost arrange the decency in order. You know, again, I'm very detailed, but I don't want to be into micromanagement so much that I drive away all the opportunity.
Amen.
So things are happening. We need to remember that. And you got to realize, I heard somebody say this, you cannot reach maturity in your comfort zone. Yeah. I should be mature any day now. I know, I'm talking to the choir.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to help us here. We are, the Spirit of God is helping us. But realize, I can honestly say he's come through every time this year. And there's other things we got pending now, and that he's going to come through on them. Stuff that is major importance, that is a lot. But he's coming through. He's done it. He'll do it time and time again. He came through with an employee for us recently. I think I told you about that. We prayed a specific way. And, you know, the way I prayed, we had prayed, I had this interjected here, Lord, soften her heart concerning this particular issue. I can't tell you what it is, but it's something we as employers need to deal with, and they as employees need to deal with. So Darlene calls her, and out of the blue, she didn't even prompt her, right? She just says, well, I can do this, and I can do this then. I can't do it now, but I can do this. It's exactly what we brought up, and nobody would talk about this. You know, thank you, Lord. I know you're... So he's faithful. And he'll be faithful still. And he'll be faithful in the outpouring so that we don't miss anything. We'll do our part. Each of us have a part. And, you know, talking about rewards, I was going to say this later, but might as well get into it now. You know, look at the opportunities you have, you know. Being ushers, soundboard. Children's ministry, opening up your home for Bible study, all different kind of things, ways we can serve. And, you know, we're partners with different ministries, one that has two large churches, and they talk about this, about service teams. And, I mean, people just love to get on these teams because it's like a fellowship. Plus, and the pastor does tell them this, you know, that you're opening yourself up for some reward. Well, what can I do? Well, follow the Holy Ghost. Maybe, you know, they got service, they got parking lot teams. I mean, these are huge churches. Parking lot teams, grounds teams, somebody mowing, somebody weeding. And these people show videos of, they love it. And they got worship teams, of course. They got, what else, clean teams. They clean the church. And this, somebody said, well, I don't know, what can I do? There's no opportunity. Well, this pastor says, we want to have 3, 4, and 5 deep so everybody doesn't have to be that same week. You know, there's opportunities people can do things there and here. So don't think it's just such a small thing, it doesn't matter. It does matter. So let's go to Matthew chapter 6. He says, I'm coming. I'm bringing my reward. Should we just have this blank look on our face? No. We should get excited. This is reward for you. Reward. That something he's bringing for us. And like I said, these people saying, well, if I can just get in, you know, stop talking about it. If you're born again, you're in. And if you're not, you're not. So get in. So Matthew chapter 6, take heed, chapter 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen to them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. You know, doing things just to be seen, is it possible to give to somebody and you get no reward? Is it possible to do a nice deed? Because in the Amplified, I think it says your good deeds. It does talk about giving then in the next couple of verses, but The first verse in the Amplified says about good deeds. And so is it possible to do these things, good deeds, publicly before men in order to be seen of them, and you have no reward? Well, think about, and I talked about this in the love message in August of last year. Listen to this. Even if I speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, this is 1 Corinthians 13, but have not love, is inspired by God's love for it in me. I'm only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Is it possible to pray in tongues and get no reward? I suppose it's possible you're praying in tongues and somebody in Australia is blessed, but you're doing it and you're not doing any kind of love. No reward. It says that. And if you have prophetic powers, gift of interpreting divine will and purpose, you know, prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and possess all knowledge, so that you have faith to move mountains, but have not love, you gain nothing, it says. So, hey, if you have a mountain of drug addiction in your life and somebody prays, and they get a benefit if they're delivered, but if you're not operating right, if you're doing this just to be seen, like in public, say a big ministry, and they're just putting on the flash and then taking an offering, they get no reward. Or whatever example you want to use. And then talking about money, doing your alms or good deeds, even if I dole out, I'm in 1 Corinthians 13:3. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body, I'd be burned. Martyrism? Maybe? Or in order that I may glory, but I have not love, I gain nothing. So is it possible to give money and gain nothing? Absolutely it is. And yet then on the other side, people that aren't born again, just to hedge their bets. Maybe they got a lot of bucks. Well, I'm just going to give to something over here just to increase my chances of getting in. That doesn't work. But, you know, that goes on. You know, these philanthropic things. I'm thinking about Bill Gates and them. So, depending on what you do, you may get zero reward. So I'm looking at both sides of this so we understand what's going on. In Matthew 6:2, it says, therefore, when you do your alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Apparently back then, if some hypocrite, by the way, is like an actor putting on a mask, just pretense. It says in, I think it's Titus, about not doing that. And I don't want to do that. I hate when I do it. I don't like it. You know, I'm done with trying to please people. You know, you say that, but you always think it. But I'm dumb. You don't need to do it. You don't have to have pretense. You need to be real. When we see Jesus, he's real. And there's no pretense. You know, there's no, you know, he can look right through you. He can look right into you. So we want to move towards operating that way. And so apparently back then when they were going to do something, Pharisees or whatever, they must have blown a trumpet. And think about this. It says they have their reward and they sound their trumpet that they may glory, have the glory of man. They have the reward. So you hear that you're just this common guy walking on the street or maybe trying to find some in the market to eat. And you hear this trumpet sound. No, what's that? You say to your buddy, what's that? Oh, that's so-and-so giving something to the poor. Oh, okay. In that fleeting moment, that's all the reward that guy gets. Think of how massively minimal that is. So, and you just don't want to be in that realm. Okay, 6:3. But when you do alms, this is giving to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. First of all, you don't want to embarrass people. And I hate that when I see this happening where people are making a big deal about, I gave this to them and I solved their problem. Well, shut up, frankly. Pardon my emphasis. But, you know, you don't want to let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. The fact that you don't want to embarrass them, acting like you're some big deal that you met their need. The more, in essence, the more you can do without people knowing it, the better off you are in the future. You might think, how are they going to know how wonderful I am? Well, I know, that's our flesh. But if you're genuinely concerned about somebody, you're going to give to them, and you're not going to say anything because you don't want to hurt them, make them feel like they're nobodies. Okay, that's verse 4. That your alms may be in secret, and your Father which sees in secret himself shall reward you openly. This is coming up for us. When you do things like this in secret, your Father sees that. We got to realize God sees it. You know, people say, oh, God's watching you. And what's that song, From a Distance? I think, oh, my goodness, unbelief. Turn the radio off. So God's seeing this, and he'll reward you openly. The day's coming for that. And probably not in this life, but he'll reward you open. That day's coming. And when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues or on the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say to you, they have their reward. Now, I'm not talking about a street preacher that's out there getting, you know, help getting on people for their benefit. I'm talking about the hypocrites that are out there just to be seen of men. And you see this sometimes in religious things where maybe an inauguration, I can see it. These preachers have a prayer written out. You're under pressure there. And I can see that they've got that. But I don't. What I'm talking about is some preacher that's talking over God's ear to get. All he's doing is talking to the people, to getting himself puffed up. And Darlene's on a rec board. We have a tree lighting every year, and I'm the MC. I do write out a prayer, but I think I just don't even. You just go out of your spirit. But I think it's just a matter you have something in your hand that, in case you freeze or something, which I don't do anyway. So he'll reward us. Who's going to reward the Father himself? He's going to reward us openly. So doing these good things doesn't guarantee us a reward. Doing just things to meet people's needs does not automatically give us a reward. But doing things in faith and doing things with... The whole thing I'm trying to get at is your heart, your motive. You know, it's got to be the right motive. I want to give to this guy because I want him to know I'm Mr. Big here. No, just get his need met and shut up and, you know. Now, there isn't, and I'm not getting this today or next week, but there is a part in taking offerings where people should know what you're giving. That's a whole other thing. In the Old Testament, there's some examples of that. But I'm talking now about this sort of thing, the motive of the heart. So God looks on the heart. Man looks on the outside. So I always got to ask yourself, would I do this if nobody... in this life knew I did it. You know, that's one good way to look at that. And that does something good for your spirit. You know, you follow your heart. And God sees it. We say God sees it. Well, Hebrews 4:13 says neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He sees it. He sees it. And people that mock God, that think nothing of God, he sees it. I'm thinking of another person that is 87 years old, can curse God like you wouldn't believe. He's a guy that I said, I had an open door a couple of times, and I said, well, yeah, you got to know where you're going. And he said, oh, I know where I'm going. I told you this, I think. I know where I'm going. I thought, oh, good. And he goes like this, pointing down, just jokingly. Then his wife is in serious trouble with a kidney issue. Vic, you know. And he is hurting. He is like distressed. He's totally different. I talked to him. I said, look, I'm going to pray for you. Oh, I appreciate that. He says, yeah, my wife and every morning. I'm thinking, oh, that's good news. You pray? Anyway, I said, I'm going to pray for you. Now, I'm not taking credit for this, but that wife went, and I'm not, but because other people probably praying, I would think. She went to whatever that specialist place is, and they operated, and they told her, we got everything out, you're cancer-free. And now, he comes back and says this, but he's not, I said, well, glory to God. But, you know, you can tell, the mindset is not, it's just, that happened, and now she's hurting with pain and all that. But the average person, that I'm talking about scoffers again, you know, they would be critical of the God that he's coming back, but and they don't acknowledge him. That's not us as the church. And so, how far did I get on this? But when you pray, enter into your closet. When you have shut your door, pray to your Father, which is in secret. And your Father, which sees in secret, shall reward you openly. And it says, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do, or they think they should be heard for their much speaking. You know, some of these people are just like a loop of soundtrack. You know, they just, and I'm not talking, because I read Notebook. I speak the word. I've spoken the word. But it's out of a heart to keep myself full of the word of God, to speak the word in a situation. But there's some people, you just push a button and they're off for the races on something. And most of the time it doesn't matter. So, you know, Jesus he's talking about prayer here. We need to pray about, you know, but not vain repetition. Not thinking we're going to pray, oh, this hour of prayer and then God will move. You could pray 15 seconds and get God to move. I'm not minimizing how long you should pray. You know, it's like the guy said, well, I mean, I did this when I first started out praying. I'm going to pray an hour. And I thought, man, it's early in the morning. I thought, it's 10 minutes. And then you get through it. And then you have this thought, well, I believe I can pray an hour. I think I can do it. It might be hard. I think I can do that. Well, what if I'm talking about Darlene? You're talking about somebody, you're talking about God who you care about. Oh, I think I can talk to her an hour. But, you know, that's like a slap in God's face. But he knows you're immature. You're starting out. But, you know, we got to realize the reality of this. So don't be like the hypocrites. Jesus is real. There's no shadow of turning in him. And, you know, I'm convinced. Brother Hagin said when he saw him, appeared to him one time, it was like liquid love in his eyes. And the thing is, you can be comfortable around him even in the fear of the Lord. He's for us. He's not trying to look for some way to slap us down here. He's looking for ways to give us reward. And realize that in doing some of these things, I probably won't get into it. There's talk about rejoicing when people persecute you. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. I've experienced that after I got born again. It's like, you know, you think, you see it behind your back. They're making fun of you. You were my friend all these years. And I didn't get mad. I got hurt. But they left, you know. So fine. We got it better off. So rejoice in that. Oh, here it is. Yeah. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you. This is Luke 6:22-23. And when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. This is not because I did them dirty, it's because I got born again. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. I'm talking about reward scriptures here. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. And Matthew 16:27, another reference, Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. But now, don't think, okay, we're talking about rewards. Don't think you've got to quit everything, change your whole life, become a pastor, hold a Bible study, start a church. Don't think you got to just be led by the Spirit. You know, one time I went to God. Yeah, that's the key. Be led by the Spirit. One time I went to God, this was 6, 7, 8 years ago. And I said, I mean, did I really miss this? You know, I have a gift of teaching, but I'm in business and this and that. Should I have done this? Should I have done that? And he said, your job, this is for me at that time, he said, your job is to pray in the Holy Ghost. Man, that was a good answer for me, because I've been praying a lot in the Holy Ghost. I can do that. I want to do that, because, you know, there's such benefit in that and such benefit for him. And, you know, and then another time, soon after that, he just said to me, I'm not mad at you. We got things to do, places to go, and I'll be speaking to you more and more. And he has. That was in March of that particular year. In October, he said something to me that was life-changing, that set us on a direction. And, you know, it's always step-by-step. You don't know everything, but you get a direction. And be okay in your own skin. Now, if God called you to preach or God called you to sell cards, go that direction, you know. So be in your place, in your grace. And little things matter. You know, like I said, children's ministry, helping out there, greeting, Sherry does this. It's Sherry back there now? Yeah. So anyway, you think, oh, that's just a little thing. We compliment her. Compliment the people that are helping. I mean, you know, it could be as much as at a fellowship. Well, I'll help do dishes, or I'll do this. And don't say, well, hey, I'm going to do dishes. I'm doing that. No, just go and do it. You know, I could mention every one of you here. I'm thinking about Renee, such a good helper. That time we had the funeral service, and here, I mean, thank you. I mean, just people that, you know how it is when you need help. My birthday in June, did I mention this before? I don't think I did. So there was, two or three other people. Darlene does birthday things at the market in our little seating area, the bistro area. Well, they had a cake and different things for me and two other people. Was it two other? So I'm there working. I mean, we're busy. And they're saying, hey, Mike, happy birthday. And I'm thinking, please give me a break here. I'm going, they're having such a wonderful time on my birthday. I'm literally trying to catch my breath. And, oh, man, Mike, you just... But they have no clue. So you, what do you think it would have meant if somebody would have said, oh, we'll help you out with this? So realize it's not just things you think are inconsequential. They're real, and they do help. So,
are you still hurt over that?
No, I'm not hurt. It's just funny. You're literally running and running and running. Yeah. But hey, thank God I can do it. I mean, I said, did I? I don't even know. I think I did. And then I had our good coffee to wash it down. We go to a chiropractor just to stay peak performance and all that. And I said, because some days we're on our feet literally 15 hours, never get to sit. Some days I sit for 10 minutes, the same as her, rarely. And you think, I said to him, am I hurting my body? Because Thursday, some days you just gotta relax a little. He said, just make up your mind you're gonna do it. No, you're not hurting your body. Don't be a, I needed that. Yeah, happy you can do it. Like Pastor said, he's 75 and he's not on a walker. So be happy what we can do. Yeah, so praise God. So be helpful. And you do it because you love people and, you're gonna get the reward. And then, it's coming a time when the Lord is going to open the books. And he says judgment's coming. And we'll probably get into some of that next week. But, people think, oh, my God. If the reality hits them, oh, my God. He's going to see what I've done. I got a couple words for you. The blood of the Lamb. Get that under the blood now. But even if you or I have missed it for 70-some years or however old you are, and this message tweaks you and thinking, well, am I in my place, in my grace? Is this working or not? It seems to me, we've stepped out in areas already and it didn't work. So, that's not it. And then you go this way. But, laws of dynamics, something in motion is easier to turn than something that's still. So, you just keep moving on this and get in your direction. And, God wants you to have reward. So just, if you're not sure, and he may not give you a whole plan, but like he said to me, I'll be talking to you, and he sure did. And, what I'm talking about as an appraiser, you want to be in your highest and best use for the rest of these days. You want to be the maximum benefit for the Lord, and you'll be so glad you did. Rewards are coming. Tangible rewards are coming. I might read you a bit of a prophecy here about that in a minute. Remind me of that, darling. So this time is coming when everybody's going to have this show up. And Revelation talks about people that finish this life and they rest from their labors and their works do follow them. That's Revelation 14:13. These things, you start looking at them. I start meditating. I'm saying, Lord, I love your word. And maybe it seems like we didn't get too far into this today. We're still going here. But I was impressed to lay this foundation. So, what did I say? 14:13, yeah. And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, this is to the Apostle John by the Holy Ghost, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and this is the key, and their works do follow them. People say you can't take it with you. Well, you can't take your house, your car, whatever, your jewelry, but your works do follow. You can take that with you. You can send that ahead. Your works do follow you. So that's good news. I mean, people finish this life and they leave and they've served God in some capacity, that's eternal. If you've done a cup of cold water, says to a prophet, in the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. I was going to get to that next week, but I don't think we'll have time, so I'm going to talk about it a minute now. You know, that's eternal. Like the hypocrites in the street blowing the horn they gave to this poor schmuck. You're such a poor schmuck. You need something. But, hey, people, look at me. I'm giving to this poor schmuck. No, you're making a fool out of him. You know, this is like, I think Pastor talked about this. You think about some of these commercials. I'm not criticizing them. Even Lebanon Rescue Mission, they send out these things in the envelope, and they have pictures of people in there. These could be local people, and they look pretty rough. I don't know if I'd want my mother on a picture like that, or my, you know, and I know they need to do certain things, but that hurts my spirit in a sense, because you're using them, you know. I know there's needs, and unfortunately, a lot of the church needs a 2x4 across the head to wake them up so they know there's a need, and maybe that's what it takes to have those pictures. But, you know, and I'm hoping that's nobody real local here that people can't identify with them, because that would be horrible. You're totally embarrassing somebody for your benefit. I was making a point here. So our works follow us. They leave. Oh, this is eternal. It's eternal rewards for us. The prophet, cup of water given to a prophet and receiving, I'm just kind of paraphrasing, receiving a prophet as a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. In other words, you're receiving somebody as a gift from God. And we receive Pastor. We should be receiving Pastor Ed as a gift from God, a gift out of Ephesians. So, but you know, talking about reward is how we need to perform this and do these things as God wants us to do them. In other words, if there's a prophet comes to town, or you know a prophet ministry, or you know, say you're next to a prophet, and I'm going to get a reward. I'm going to go get that guy one of the Old Glory coffees. And I'm not advertising. I'm going to get them a good cup of coffee. He doesn't drink coffee. He drinks, like the pastor drinks tea, not coffee. If I want to get reward, and I'm trying to get in good with the pastor, the prophet, here's the coffee. I don't want the coffee. You're not doing that. You've got no reward on that. So, you know, you got to follow the Holy Ghost every step of the way. You know, there's people want to do things their way. It's all back to the motive, and it's pride. I'm going to do it my way. Because this is what I want to do. And, you know, use your gift as you have it, but don't force it down the throat of somebody. You know, and like we talked about teams and ministering, just coming to church, we realize this group really, just coming to church is not serving God. That's for our benefit. You know, that's where we get fed. You know, I thank God most every week. You know, we can serve God and doing the offering, the worship, what have you. And in whatever capacity, because it's something we can do for the body of Christ. You know, it says in Ephesians 4, I'm going to turn there, about that which every joint supplies. So I'm talking about being part of the team, so to speak, which is a tremendous benefit. Those people I'm talking about in that big church, they show videos of the clean team, whatever. They are so happy. They get together and they pray with each other. Again, it's a huge church, but you know, they're serving, they're in this thing serving Jesus. He said one guy, Keith Moore was overseas, and I don't know which country it was, Eastern Europe, I think. And he said he got out of the jet, went into, you know, they drove him to the church. There are six guys there opening the door. You know, one saying, Brother Keith, would you like this snack? Would you like this drink? Would you, and here, take, no. You know, would you like this? There's six guys wanting to serve. He said, and he got into the church for the night of the service. And he saw this guy smiling at him, just beaming with, you know, happiness. And Keith just kept watching him as he's talking to other people. And the guy finally said, were you in the restrooms yet? And Keith said, no. He said, that's my responsibility. He said, I think you'll like him. In fact, we were in both, and I'm not pushing that ministry, but we were in both churches in Branson and Sarasota, immaculate. You can go in that restroom, immaculate, in the churches. They got people that want to serve God, and they're doing it, and And it's great. Now here, we rent this church, and Alan and I were talking this morning. You go into the men's room, and it's like, do you need a gas mask? And I don't talk about, I'm talking about just certain, he says, do they keep a lawnmower in here? It's almost, I don't know what in the world. Maybe the ladies are the same, but so how'd I get off on that? Restrooms, rest serving, yeah. So, I mean, here, apparently, you know, they have people that do this, and so, but, you know, are we always going to be here? That's what I'm getting at. So, how do I get out of this one? I'm over in Ephesians 4. And this is where he said about, he gave some gifts. He gave some apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting the saints for the work of the ministry. In other words, perfecting us to do the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. We don't want to have to go and, I don't want to have to be down there at least for at the market and say, oh, hey, I want you to come and talk to my pastor. He might have something to tell you. No, I got to be able to, and I do. We talk to him, you know that. So, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Man, of the perfect man, or mature man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man, cunning craft, as whereby the lion wait to deceive. I'm getting there. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, this is what I get to, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. Every joint should be supplying their part. If I'm supposed to do something and I'm not going to do it, then that's not done. I'm supposed to be supplying. God will go get somebody else to do it. But I'm going to miss a reward on that. If you're supposed to do X, Y, Z, and you think, I can never do that. I can never. Yeah, you can. God will show you. You'll be trained. But if you don't do it, he'll move on to get somebody else, and you won't have the reward. And guaranteed, the people that say they can't do it, won't do it by abstinence, if and when they get to heaven, assuming they're born again, they get to heaven, they will rue the day, so to speak. They'll see what they could have had in rewards, and what they don't have. Now, it's not going to be bad for anybody. And that's why I'm sure Jesus has to dry the tears. I imagine if you see you could have had that mansion, but you didn't because you were disobedient. This is the whole thing. Is reining in our high horse, so to speak, get our will in line, getting off the pride, humility and submission, and walking in this. You know, there's a story that goes along with this. Brother Hagin talked about it, and other people talked about it. I've heard this guy fell off a thing into the concrete below, died, and, you know, apparently they got him back. He was dead, but they got him back. And he said he was in heaven. Now, you've heard a lot of accounts like this, probably. I've read books like this, and I really believe it's real. But he said, I got there. Among other things, Jesus said, I want to show you your mansion. I want to show you your places. Places. I don't know if he said that, but I'm convinced there are places. Whatever it takes to satisfy you. So he said, Jesus said, I handcraft every abode according to the desires of you, the people. You know, what you like. Man, think about this. This is our Lord. Now, I don't have scripture for this, but this guy was not a flake. So this is true. And the thing is, if you look at the word abode, in my Father's house are many mansions and many abodes. It means like landed estates. And the fact of the matter is, this guy said, he showed me my place. It had a mountain. It had a lake. I mean, this is not just a townhouse. Nothing against townhouses, but I don't want one in heaven. You know, he showed him this place, and it was like, this is my heart's desire. Even I never even realized I loved it. I love that. I always said, oh, we're going to have places on Jupiter and all over. I want to get this out of here, I'm not going to forget it. So he talked about this. When he came back, he said about these things and how marvelous it is that Jesus is handcrafting for his people these things. And then look in the Greek, part of it is landed estates. So I figure, hey, I'm on my way. I want to live in a landed estate here. No, you can live wherever you want here. Some people need or want to live in an apartment, a one bedroom. Hey, that's great. I'm not criticizing anybody, but, you know, we are going to have tremendous reward in heaven. And that stories like that, you hear about these people. So, you know, the key is to be obedient, to walk in faith, walk in love. Just keep learning. Don't think, like I could sit back and say, I'm 73, sit down, take it easy. No. And I don't want to. I can't, you do what you want, but I just cannot fathom when I refired from the government. And I didn't retire. I hate that word. So I just cannot see you and I just sitting around figuring out something to do. How many bike rides can you take? Or, you know, and they say there's no word for retirement in the Bible. So, and that's, if you want to sit back and play golf, fine, I'm not against it. You know, that could be like somebody born again. Just kick back, go golfing, satisfies your own fleshly desires. And nothing against golfing. Just do nothing but except for the big me. Nothing for anybody else. You see a lot of that in the church, not this church, but the church at large. Just do nothing for anybody else. Do you think our Lord is going to give them the same reward as you and I that maybe have been, not maybe, that we're in obedience? This is, you know, that's what I'm saying. God's not a socialist. You know, this guy's never been in church, never did a thing for anybody. Yeah, born again, lived like H on earth, H-E double toothpicks, had trouble here and there. I don't know why God put this cancer on me. Yeah, right. You know, don't get me started on that. No knowledge, perishing for a lack of knowledge. Born again, if they're born again, they're going to get there and they're not going to have the same reward as us. They're not. It's just not that way. Because we have scripture on it. You know, according as his work shall be. So, what every joint supplies, we are supposed to supply as part of the body. This is a body of Christ. So I want to encourage you. We're suppliers. You know, you may think, well, all I do is open the door. All I do is this. All I do is that. All I do is clean up the communion. And all I, you know, whatever it is, it's not insignificant. Nothing is insignificant. Just do it in faith. So I want to maybe, I'm a little early, but I might finish with, as I say, I'm starting to finish. So we want to live today so we don't have any regrets when we breathe our last. Now, did you ever think about that? Like, I mean, some of you guys are young, really young, younger than some of us. And did you ever think about, what have I really done? But then you think about, well, I followed the Holy Ghost, I did this, I've done that. Don't pat yourself on the back, but realize it's not insignificant. But then realize, I talked about highest and best use. I want to go back to that a minute. In the appraisal world, you have this property. For example, we were down at Stone Harbor the other year, riding bike, and see a track hose sitting there. Come back, the house is halfway down. Next day, it's all down. The lot's leveled. Somebody might pay a million or more dollars just to buy that lot with a not too old a house. Tear it down, build something else. That's called highest and best use. If you haven't been in the will of God, if you think you really missed it, get before God and hear it. Get some reward now. You know, it talks about burning up the wood, hay, and stubble. If you messed up, let's burn it now so we get some reward. Let's get into the vein now. The first shall be last, the last first. There's reward to be had. You know, I don't care if you're 119 and a half and you're going at 120 or what have you. You can get on it. You can redeem the time. Highest and best use in my realm is it has to be legally permissible. You know, we've got the permissible word right here. I'm not supposed to be a jewel thief. I think that's my calling. No, it's not legally permissible by the word. Physically possible, you know, in the realm of real estate, you know, can you build this on that site or like that? Financially feasible, you know, in the realm of, in God's realm, he takes away a lot of that because he can supply whatever you need to do what you're called to. So don't think, well, how could I do that? How could I go to more streets? How could I do this? God supplies everything you need. Stay in faith. So financially feasible and then maximally productive in the appraisal world realm. So what's the maximum use for that lot or that building or that 20 acres? Should it be a warehouse? Should it be an apartment complex? There's ways of studying this. But in our realm, in the spiritual realm, maximally productive is finding your place, your grace, and walking in it. You know, nobody's in here called the same thing, so to speak, but you've got to move into that. And that's where my message last December about spending that time, I've done that a lot, but I'm just amazed how God spoke to me early in the year that set the stage for bing, bing, bing. I told you about we were going to sell this property, so I'm going to wait till January. Then I'm on it, and we get direction. We almost made a big mistake, but I had scripture. We're not going to go off the cliff. I'm not going to get into that scripture, but that's scripture. We're not going to get blown off the cliff. We're not going the wrong direction. We found out that this would have been a disaster. We're not going that direction. He protected us. We got hooked up the other realm with another person, another auctioneer, and went in that direction. We testified. We had to kind of pull him along using our faith to get where we knew we could get to, and we did. But we could have been a passive Christian, not spending the time, just, I'm too busy. I got to do this work today. Now, I know you've got jobs, you've got stuff, we've got businesses, so I know you maybe don't have an hour. But when I was so busy working with the government and getting up and working 10-hour days, I would, even if I had 5 or 10 minutes, the Lord would speak to me. You know how it is. You can take that time and He'll speak to you. Endeavor to take more. So, you know, we knew we had to go in a direction and we had to stand against the weather that very day. Open house, gorgeous, 80 degrees, people coming all over the place. The day of the sale, oh my God, prediction is horrible. But we stood in faith and I said, if it's pouring down rain, we're still going to get the best, you know, but we stood. And it didn't rain until after we were done. You know, these are things, He was showing us little intricate things out of the Word to keep going. Don't give up on this. Just all kind of things like that. And lately, I mean, I worked as a contractor for a group in Chicago that they have contacts with multinational banks and different things, and they send me the work. And lately, it's been a little slow in that realm. But in 2019, I got hooked up with a Pennsylvania bank. And, man, I had so much work then. And, you know, Pennsylvania, New York, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Kansas right now, you know, like that. So then they called me and said, we love your work. Don't take this the wrong way, but we're hiring internally, so we won't be sending you any more work. I thought, oh, okay. But then the other one picked up. But the one in Chicago, the boss, the owner, we were just talking to him on the phone, and it's like, well, you know, things are really slow. And we haven't gotten a lot of work from them. You know, I get probably the favor amount. But he's crying the blues about tariffs and blah, 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 and I'm trying to hold my breath, trying to keep, because he's on the other side of the political spectrum than I am, but that's fine. I respect him for who he is, right? So what he doesn't know is I am so busy with his other bank. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. You know, stuff coming in, and I'm loving the Word. I'm preparing, but then I got to put on, and Darlene says she juggles a lot. She puts on these hats. And this is another thing. God helps her. Tax collector, the church work, the business work, and everything else going on. I'm preaching to the choir. You guys have your own issues, but be encouraged. Every step of the way, he's helping you. And now, this guy in Chicago is saying to me, well, you're the ag expert because I work for the Department of Agriculture. Haven't done a farm appraisal in decades, 10 years probably, but I'm the expert. And I do know something, but I'm more into the other stuff, but warehousing, multifamily, all the big projects like that. But he says, we're finally getting hooked up with this bank in Florida. It's an ag bank, and you're going to be the guy. We're going to you. And so, should I stop now? You're looking at me like, don't say that. So he's saying, you know, because I'm, and I know what the fee is on this, and I'm saying, this is not going to work. Fee split, I'm getting, this is, He said, "No, I'm doing this for you. You're going to get most of the money." I said, "Okay." So I don't work for nothing. In my realm, you make a bunch an hour. So and I'm not bragging. That sounded bad, but I spent years in getting where I'm at. So he says, "We're going to do this." And then he has this other email come in and says about these things. And we get home from the market, and we're tired. I wake up at 12:12, and I'm thinking, "Wait a minute, you're not doing this to me. You're going to send me this stuff, and I'm just supposed to jump, and I don't know any details yet. Just, you're tired, and you're thinking this." I got up and banged out an email, didn't send it. I know enough to wait and temper that, have her look at it. But I sent it the next day. So then we're on the road. He called, and he says, "Oh, I had 3 points." He says, "No, you're good." I said, "I don't want to start till October because we're going on vacation." "Oh, yeah, no problem. I want to see the format." "Oh, you'll have that weeks in advance." And what, I don't know what else. So it's like, and this is not like this guy. I'm seeing God move in these realms. Like, you know, I'm talking personal things. Maybe it doesn't mean that much to you, but I'm just trying to give God the glory in that he's on the move, and he'll help each one of us. So I just want to read you a portion of a prophecy. I got a few minutes. This was from 1984. It's a long prophecy. And this was part of the Southwest Believers Convention, and I wasn't there, but I was going after work. I'd get some dinner and drive to the worship center. They had the satellite. It was on satellite. And every night. And the one lady that worked for me later in the week said, "Man, you've been a bear this week." And I didn't know it, but I'm going. I mean, I'm tired, but I'm going to the Word every night. And then Friday night, a bunch of people from the church came anyway. But I'd been there all week. And I'm a partner with that ministry, so this is big to me. And part of this prophecy, in 1984, there was a sense of certain things. And this prophecy, you thought, does this really fit? But I'll tell you what, it fits now. And I'm not going to read all that part. But it's talking about the days of God's vengeance coming down in a judgment type of thing, not against people, but against sin and against things that have gone against him. So basically, it's don't be holding on to sin. But he's talking about the ages to come. I just want to read this couple of paragraphs. This really blessed me. In the future, out in the distant ages that you know nothing of, I'll give you a glimpse of what it shall be like. Never again, never in any age, never in the future again, will there be the likes of you. Talking about the church, I'm speaking now. Talking about the church. How glorious we are. And we have to realize this. This is part of our reward, but just getting in is glorious, and we're in. But let's go for the gold. I'm going to interject this. This is not in the prophecy. I'm just saying this. As a young Christian, I used to walk on a family's grandparents' and uncle's farm up a lane to the woods. And there, I remember it was either a Labor Day or Columbus Day or something like that, a holiday. I was off, and I walked up there, and I'm praying, and I just came out of my spirit. I said, "Lord, I don't want to just get to heaven. I want the best you have. I want the best you got." I'm thinking, as a young Christian, this, you know, you think this, it becomes real to you. And so, I mean, I'm still that way. We want, all of us should want the best he's got for us. So, we don't want to be like the disciples that, "Hey, Mom, go tell, ask Jesus if I can sit on his right hand. You know, go ahead, tell him." You know, the disciples got, I don't have it in front of me, but, you know, some of them, the mother asked if the sons could be at the right hand, and he said, "Well, it's not mine to give." And the others got teed off a bit about it because they knew how, probably because they didn't ask first. Well, now we know their position as apostles of the Lamb, but I mean, this obviously must have been important. Jesus talked a lot about it. These guys had enough wits about them to think, "Hey, this is coming. I want, you know, we should desire this." Yeah, we should desire this. The very best he's got for us. And we're not clones. You're not called what I'm called to. You're not called to my business. I'm not called to your business, what have you. But we all got to operate in faith in what he's called us to do. So In the future, on the distant ages that you know nothing of, I'll give you a glimpse of what it should be like. Never again, never in the future again will there be the likes of you. You will walk the streets of the cities of the planets and the stars. Now think about that. In a glorified body, planets and stars, it says we'll rule and reign with him. So I built the universe for you, and you'll travel it with me. And all of those that shall be born in the future and all of the years to come as natural men and natural women populate the stars, and they'll say one to another, there comes one of the kings. There comes one of the special ones. There comes the image of the master. Oh, would that we had lived in that age. We're living in the church age, and it's about to close. We have such opportunity yet. It's never going to be the same after this. And speaking of that, you know, this, we may never have this same thing again. One time I talked about how to say it a lot. These kids didn't realize, but there was a time when the last time they went out to play and they came in, that was it. Never happened again. That we would have lived in that age. They're so special. They get the best of everything. Their father keeps them in his bosom. Oh, we have it blessed with this because of them. They walk in the glory realm. They walk in the light realm. We have joy, but they have ecstasy. Now, this is natural man talking about the church. Never, never will there be any more like you. You fought and stood with me. We have come through this thing together as co-laborers, and you stood and believed when you could not see, and you stood and believed when all the forces of evil were against you. You stand at midlife. Now, I was 32 at that time. I'm 73 now. This is back in 84. You stand at midlife at 40, 50, 60 years old and face an enemy that's thousands of years old, and you face him in faith, you face him in power, and you face him without flinching, and you face him without turning, and I will never forget it, says the Lord, throughout the time that eternity shall roll. You've been pitted against the most evil system that has ever existed in the history of all existence. And where others have failed, you have stood. I'll never forget it as long as eternity rolls. Now he's talking about us, word of faith. He's talking about the true church. There's born-again people that are in the church, but they don't know anything about standing. You were talking about in Deuteronomy, you know, not getting performance-based. And a lot of the church in our circles, Word of Faith, knows about Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. And I take that and flip over to Deuteronomy. I say, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of inflammation. It's in there. The botch, the itch, whatever that is, the scab, has redeemed me from the curse of building and not dwelling there. He's redeeming the curse of a trembling heart, filling of eyes, sorrow of mind, sickness and disease or long continuance. Of mildew. I heard of a man, a preacher, he actually did this. He'd never lie to me or lie to us. He said he and his wife were young. They had this lousy apartment or house, mildew all over the walls in the basement. He got this scripture. He's redeeming the curse of mildew. In Deuteronomy, it's under the curse. It went away. He didn't treat it at all. It went away. That was Andrew Womack, by the way. And so, you know, I think sometimes our circles know more about that than about the blessing. Right? They're too timid to take the fact that Jesus did the performance. I'm back on that. Jesus did the performance, so we can have the blessing in the first 14 verses of Deuteronomy 28. And in Genesis 12, the blessings of Abraham that are ours. By his performance, not ours. So, but this talks about standing against the devil all these years. And then he goes on to talk about this. I'll just close with this. And the down payment of my eternal memory, the down payment of my appreciation, the down payment of what I'm to do through the ages is going to be expressed to you in the most powerful healing revival that's ever hit the earth. And we're shouting, well, I've learned in a prophecy, shut your mouth, don't clap. I'm so disgusted with people that Ed and I were in Philadelphia, and a prophecy came through. In different places, we've seen this time and again. People, you know, they start prophesying, oh, you can't hear what they're saying. Shut up. Respect the Spirit of God. That's a correction, we need to know that, but that bothers me. So anyway, they're clapping, they're going on here, and this is 1984, we're thinking, okay, man, we're on this. Well, here we are, 2025. And yeah, there's things that have broken out. There's things going on. But this is still for us now, even in more intensity. So the down payment is expressed in the most powerful healing revival that's ever hit the earth. And it's your hands I'm going to use. It's your mouth I'm going to use. It's your feet I'm going to use. It's your money I'm going to use. It's your family I'm going to use. I don't care where they are, what they look like. Don't be moved by that. It's your family they're going to use. He's going to use. And there are many of you tonight that have children out in the streets and you don't even know where they are. And I'm going to go to them and I'm going to bring them into the kingdom and I'm going to baptize them in the Holy Ghost, in my Holy Ghost, and I'm going to use them in the greatest healing outpouring in the history of the human race. And I did hear testimonies after that. He does that. We've heard testimony of that. Goes out in the streets, brings the people in. How many of you have kids that you wish they'd be a little more, or grandkids, you wish they'd be a little more, there seems to be something about, now I got born again in 1976. In the late 70s, I was on fire. I try to stay on fire all the time. But then, and you know my background and his background, putting the word in and just, I'm thinking, Lord, why do I know some of these things? And he said, because you honor the word. So we can all value the word, even if you're a scriptural literate now, nobody here is, but get on it. So, but there's something happened, and, you know, our kids, Ed talks about confession police. We taught them. You don't say this. You don't say you're sick. And we go into this church, not this one where we were a couple of churches ago. And they're, I don't know, six, seven. We used to have prayer in the morning in the back there. And the one lady said something there. And Bethany said, don't say that. And that didn't go over with these people because I am up here. I am older than you. You shouldn't tell me. Go out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. So anyway, what I'm getting at, we train our children. You trained your children and grandchildren. And don't let the way things look impede your faith because, you know, God knows. He sees what you've done. And even if you became born again and didn't train your kids, God is merciful. He'll do some things. You know, yeah, we would like to see, everybody would like to see their offspring doing really into things. But, you know, you can't badger them. You've got to just pray and believe God, not be moved. Our daughter, which the other day you were asking her something, and we're going to our granddaughter's soccer game this afternoon. And you were asking about it, and she sends this text, haven't heard from her in a while. A picture out of a plane. She's heading to Boston to do a photo shoot for a wedding. I mean, she has a photography business, but she's going to Boston. What'd she say? The minimum is $50,000, the venue. So, I mean, that's our kid, but, you know, God's blessing it. But, you know, things come around. Things will come around. And what you've got to realize is, by putting the word in and not hammering them all the time, but putting the word in love, walking in love, when this intensifies, they'll come back to thinking, oh, yeah, I remember that. Amen. They will. Train up a child in the way they should go.
Amen.
So let's finish here with a prayer. Father God, we thank you and praise you for your goodness. We open this up in kind of a foundational thing today. We thank you for next week and maybe more detail. But we give you glory, praise, and honor. We know that you are coming quickly, Jesus. You said it. We don't doubt you. And your reward is with you to give to every man. That's the race of man and woman, as our work is done. So we thank you, Lord God, that this is the truth. We honor you in it. And as we walk this week, we are intent to listen to the Holy Ghost, taking step by step, not off on our own, but listening to you and in directing our steps. And we thank you for it today in Jesus' name. Amen.